And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yes! Grab your torch and dip it into the sexy St. Jeff candle. No Buffs is back. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, along with my fellow tribe members, two guys who shred Long Island iced teas with the best of them. It's Trey Kirby and J.D. What's up, guys?
Yeah, we're one of those.
Oh, man. We are here to recap the premiere episode of Survivor 46, titled, This is Where the Legends Are Made. And my God, ain't that the truth? This first episode, 2 hours long. So jump on the giant gecko and buckle up, because we're in for a ride here. Holy moly. But before we start breaking it down, shout out to the live tribe joining us right now on YouTube. Take a second, hit the like button, make sure you subscribe, comment away. And podcast listeners, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on the platform of your choice, your Apples, your Spotify's, your Podbeans, wherever you download and listen to No Buffs. We would appreciate that. And share the show. Maybe some of you are new here with a brand new season of Survivor. So thanks for joining us. And yeah, we're going to have some fun here because, wow, what a great first episode.
What an episode. That was one of the funniest episodes of Survivor, especially like a debut episode. I was laughing from the beginning all the way through Tribal Council. A lot of great lines and a lot of hilarious moments.
You also have been laughing for like the last 3 hours here every time you find something new about Jelinski.
Oh, I love this guy, man.
This guy went sicko mode. I'm talking about TK here. He's looking at Jelinski basketball high school clips.
Jelinski's a hooper.
That's good.
Yeah, I think it appears he had a Kobe Bryant moment at one point in his high school career, suffering an injury on a play, but going to the free throw line and knocking them down.
You're telling me he didn't quit from an actual injury? When it came to basketball, he saw it through. Everything else he just gives up on. Okay, we're learning things here. Yeah, before we go through the episode scene by scene, JD, are you pumped to have Survivor back in your life? No buffs. What'd you think of this first one?
I fire it up on the old DirecTV, you know, delayed a little bit, and I... It's like going to the top of a mountain, you know, when you're skiing or snowboarding and you're like, God damn, look at this mountain. I can't do this. But then it starts, you start the run and you're like, God, I'm
the
skiing
time
again.
This
is fun. Yeah, it was great. I'm so pumped and happy.
You're happy, again, first impressions of the cast here too?
I think it's a great cast so far. I mean, you know, good first impressions. I mean, out of the gate, we get one of the best narrations of all time. Right?
Oh my God, you're telling me. Tevin, he just breaks down the game of Survivor. Like, incredibly eloquent.
Yeah.
Like, was he reading a damn script?
No,
is this off the dome?
That's off the dome, sitting under some coconuts. Like,
that's
amazing. I think, I mean, it seemed to be. They cut to him, and he's like, I'm ready to play.
It was like a minute long.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wrote in my notes, this guy's going to take over for Probst. We found our guy Probst. When Probst finally hangs it up.
Maybe.
Just let Tevin run this
Possibly.
Show because that
was
amazing.
Cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, we'll jump right into the episode here. The intro is Tevin really narrating. And then we quickly, you know, get a little bit from some of the castaways out there. Banu from Slumdog to Survivor, baby. We get Jess saying she's a little odd, but competitive. Find out she's an identical twin. Are we going to get a Big Brother twist on Survivor? Could that be in play? Charlie, he's a Swiftie who went to Harvard. He's not going to share that. Tiffany is an artist that hustles. We were just like getting a little bit from some of the people that we're going to get to, know and hopefully love over the next 12 weeks. Anyone jump out to you right from the jump there? And what would you think of how they started this season?
Well, I do like Tevin, and you're right. His monologue to start the season was great. He talked about being an actor multiple times. He said he has an old soul. And the guy's like, what, 24 years old? He definitely seems much older than that. Yeah. So I thought he was great. I liked Q. He seems like he'll be a fun character as well. But yeah, I'm just in. I was in right away, man.
I know. It doesn't take long.
Not at all.
You're right, JD. It's like with us here. I mean, we got the playoffs right around the corner.
A lot happening,
we podcast our fucking asses off to begin with. And then you're like, okay, here we go. Another show on the docket. But then it starts and, you know, I'm smiling ear to ear, like right away. Totally in. And hopefully you are as well. So we go to the welcome mats. Guess they had a boat ride from hell.
It looked rough.
Show of hands, choppy. Who vomited? And a couple hands went up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I only noticed Ben.
Somebody else threw one up.
Okay.
Yeah, but they sort of focused on Ben. And I was wondering, like, were they going to do your classic marooning sort of challenge to start this? And did they have to pull the plug because
interesting.
Of choppy, rough seas?
They must have.
Maybe.
Because it was pretty rough. And at one point, Jeff literally says, this is your marooning challenge.
Right.
Just in case you weren't
sure. Yeah. We have started the game. Yeah. Also, Probst gives like some sort of speech. It's not really a pep talk. He basically says, you might all suck. You're not going to win this.
I'm looking at 17 losers right now. Essentially. Right?
I know.
Pretty much.
We're paraphrasing, but he was really laying it on thick, which I liked. I mean, we were told coming into this, we're going to get an edgier Jeff Probst. Mm-hmm. And right from the jump, he's like, you losers. 17, you suck at this game. One of you will just scrape by.
He's still salty from the quits from the last season.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. He better not quit. we learned the tribes, okay? It's look, there will be some mistakes made here on No Buffs today. We are learning these people's names, learning what tribes are on, and what they're called. But the purple tribe, Yanu. Banu Anyanu.
Banu Anyanu.
Green, Siga. Flock of Sigas. Thanks to Ben for that. Get your wings flapping.
That's good, man.
And then the orange tribe is Nami. Okay?
Okay.
Yanu, Siga, Nami, purple, green, orange in that order.
I enjoyed the pun. Nami from Soda, I believe she was saying. I mean, I thought I had to rewind it. I didn't get it at first. Because she goes, Nami. Oh, not me. It's not me. You know, like, it's not me.
Well,
she was also the one who said from the get-go when they got into the challenge.
Well, she also said, when we get into the first challenge here, she goes, jump on that course like a starving man on a Christmas ham. She said that within the first 10 minutes of this season.
Clyde Frazier mode.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So they're playing for tribal supplies here, obviously in their three tribes. Hunter on the orange tribe, I think I have that right, on Nami. Yeah. He's ripping through this course. That guy had the adrenaline pumping, I thought. And we get Maria, green tribe, carrying a giant puzzle piece on her back. Mm-hmm. And we get our first, that's how you do it on Survivor.
Was that for Maria?
That was for her when she was carrying that huge piece back. I believe it was.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah.
So Probst right away giving us one of those.
Got to be the earliest in Survivor history. We're like 5 minutes into the season. She was doing was amazing. I don't know how her arms bent like that and was still able to hold it and grip it. Impressive.
Yeah, for sure. Orange/Nami, they sort of crushed then the three-tiered puzzle. I thought they did really well. So Tevin, he gets the flint down. So they win this thing. Green comes in second, and obviously purple, Yanu, coming in third. So green, Siga, gets to decide between Savvy and Sweat, and they went with Savvy, leaving Sweat to Jelinski and the purple tribe, which I know we'll get into.
Yes, indeed.
But did you like this? Did you like how they did this little challenge here for the supplies and then ultimately to decide, you know, who would pick between Savvy and Sweat?
Sure. I like the binary choice at the end there to choose who does what, and then you basically screwing the other team. They're like, make them sweat, which I enjoyed. And if you're right, and I think you are, that this challenge was thrown together at the last minute because they had to abort, then they did a great job. Let's be honest. I mean, it was a fun challenge. Big, heavy things to lift, a lot of teamwork involved. Pretty complicated puzzle in my book.
Sure.
So, it was good.
I also love usually first challenges, and I think they do this because they want cool shots for the intro of the season.
Mud. Yeah.
Are always covered in mud at one point in the challenge. It was early, obviously, in this one when they went underneath that little cargo net. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. It had everybody looking like Tree Man after the very first challenge. But yeah, I mean, they're just right into it. And, yep. You know, Jeff's yelling. It was great. It was great to be back. And people are complaining, no Matt chats. Jeff went in. He wasn't faking like he didn't know these people's names.
Yeah.
He just called them by their names because he's there for the entire casting process. So he does know it. No messing around from Jeff anymore. He's getting right to it. And if you're lying to him in Tribal Council, he's calling you out on it.
Yeah.
I am so happy you brought that up. I don't need to hear them once again. Three people say basically the same thing about how excited they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, like all that stuff that we always get. You're right. Let's go to it.
Yeah. We get how excited you are.
Totally.
You're flipping out. We can see you. You're screaming your head off. It's, yeah, it's perfect. Let's get, I love the... You guys are a bunch of losers. Let's do this. Yeah. Get it back to the barfing on the boat.
Yeah.
How mad would you be? Like, you're going on Survivor. For 26 days, you're not going to have access to food, and you barf up your the last meal before you get on the beach.
Right. Whatever great breakfast you just had there. Yeah. That's true.
You're loading up at that buffet, right?
Like, yeah. Hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Anyways. Oh, that would have made a mess out there. either of you guys ever puked on a boat?
Yes.
Yeah, so have I.
I have.
Yeah. Not me.
No?
Good for you. Never chummed the ocean.
Yeah. Cool. Rachel, she always gets seasick.
Yeah.
And she went below in the boat. We were at deep sea fishing.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah, and I
just... They tell you, stay up, look on the horizon if you can.
And I was marrying her the next day, so I had to go down and help her.
And then you got sick?
And then I got sick, and it was just like, oh my God. Because I never get, I've never been seasick until that one time.
Oh my God. Was there some partying the night before?
Oh yeah, yeah. We were in Mexico, but it was pure motion sickness. It was the roughest seas I've ever been in. But okay. Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, I've gotten sick a couple times on boats. Usually because there's been too much fun the night before, if we're being honest, but well, it is what it is.
Have you ever been on a boat and not been hungover?
Well, maybe. Yeah, not. The one time I was in a boat with you, when we in a tiny little when we went fishing. Were you there? Yeah, up at the cottage.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That was one time I didn't get sick.
Okay,
actually.
All right.
I was like, man, we've been on a boat together. I remember that.
We nearly sunk that boat. We had way too many guys in a very small boat.
It was a tiny boat.
But no, the answer to your question, I don't think so.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah, so there you go. So let's get to the sweat and savvy challenges. And while we do this, you know, there was a lot of sort of going back to tribes. So we'll sort of tackle the tribe sort of one by one here. We'll start with Purple and Yanu. Same tribe. Sweat challenge. We get Jelinski saying he is the infamous monster that Propes is always talking about. he's actually a slot machine salesman. But he's amazing. And it's Jelinski and Q that decide we'll do the savvy. We got to move water from the ocean to these giant sort of pots using buckets with holes in them. And you have obviously the hourglass there, which is several hours.
Yes.
Which to Jelinski means seven. To most people, you know, look, it's up for interpretation. I don't know. What did you think several means in this instance? About four?
3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, okay.
Over three.
Okay, over three.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 to 5 maybe.
Yeah.
But he was pretty convinced it was seven. And then an hour and a half into this thing, this guy just straight up calls it and convinces a competitive athlete, Q, to do the same.
Yeah.
He may have been right. I don't know. When you looked at how much water they had... there's still a lot of time left in the hourglass, but...
It didn't look like they were close.
I don't know if they're going to do it.
Like, who knows when the shot was taken of the overhead of how empty their urns still were.
True, true.
But in his post-game press, Jelinski has been saying that it was Q's idea to quit first.
Ooh.
I don't believe him.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an issue.
I don't believe him
Jelinski
because,
be
he seems to be an unreliable narrator. Yeah, because he also said, Jelinski never speaks in the third person. And everything I've read about him... He has called himself Jelinski in the third person.
Yeah.
Wow. Every single thing.
And he did it obviously last night in the first episode.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people talking in the third person.
Yeah.
There was like three people already.
Yeah, we had Jelinski, we had Liz, and somebody else.
Banu did it.
Oh, Banu.
And he even caught himself doing it.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe he did. No, maybe Soda didn't. But
she said Sodar, which is like
sort of the same
fourth
thing.
Fourth person almost.
Yeah.
But this was the first time I thought Jelinski was hilarious. Not him talking about the several and 7, but obviously they're spilling a ton out of these
buckets,
of these buckets because they have the holes on it. But you watch Jelinski walking, and he's spilling more out the top. like his gait is so off kilter that it's just all spilling out the top and the bottom. I was like, how did you get any of the urn, man?
Yeah, too good. It was weird. At times they didn't seem to even be trying to plug the holes.
Yeah.
For quite a long walk.
Yeah.
That you're gonna lose a ton of water. I was thinking, you know, I don't know if it would have been legal. Like they started with their shirts on and then they took them off because they were probably sweating balls. But right. Could you have taken your shirt off and wrapped it around the bucket?
Honestly, don't see why not.
That's pretty.
Or wrap your buff like just
something,
around the bucket.
Something to
something
help the leakage.
To slow it down at least. But yeah.
Instead, he just called it. And then he straight up just chucks the hourglass. And it shatters everywhere. It can never go back to that beach.
That beach is off limits like, now. Like, the prop department's like, no!
I think so, yeah.
Big debate about whether they told him to chuck the hourglass, whether he asked to chuck the hourglass, whether he just straight up did it. We were debating pre-show. I heard... I know Rob was talking to Franny on his podcast about it too. She was pretty adamant, like, no, he just grabbed it and chucked it. And she's like, they have hundreds of these. And she made a great point. They show us all the time, like, hourglasses smashing, like
that's
those
true.
Little fun little interstitials.
That's a great point, actually.
So they got a ton of them.
I am in the camp that thinks that the producer told him to do it.
What?
Because it's just like, I don't know.
You're
quitting that, like, otherwise there's no sort of cathartic, we're quitting, or we're done.
Right.
Right? We're just like, okay, I guess we're going to quit, and let's just skulk away. You know what I mean? But now it's like, I think that he was told, but that's my...
It's much more fun to think...
Oh, yeah.
He had seen the shillelagh of time and was like, if I smash this, maybe we win.
Right.
We did the savvy challenge. Reverse time.
It would have been incredible. They're like, damn it, it's a rule. We didn't think about somebody actually just smashing that thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, they give up.
It looked, to be fair to Jelinski,
looked difficult.
It looked very difficult.
I couldn't figure out why there were two giant urns.
But one of them seemed big enough for it to be a tough challenge.
Yeah.
But apparently he made it even tougher on himself by going barefoot for the first hour of it.
Hot sand?
I think he was complaining more about walking on coral barefoot.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So keep the shoe.
Hey, Jelinski. Wow. Hey, that's just how it is, man.
Jelinski!
He's like, I don't know, I'm going to date myself here, but we talk about Andy Griffith on this show, but... Beetle Bailey, ever read that comic? It's like the old, like, 50s comic.
Yes.
He's like Beetle Bailey. He's just like this sort of, you know, loaf about sort of bumbling fool.
Yeah.
And that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
Just, especially when he was lying in the shelter later on in the show. But anyways, we'll get to it.
So we get some of the other tribe, too, while they're obviously doing this. You know, again, Banu, Kenzie is the salon owner. She prides herself on connections that she can make. Seems to be teaming up with everyone, so she has a good social game. Jess seems very shook. I mean, you say Jelinski's bumbling around. Jess is just like, she's afraid to talk strategy. I know we get into later. She can't sleep. She can barely talk at tribal council. Yeah. Rough couple of days for her. And then we do have Kenzie, Tiff, Q, and Jelinski starting an alliance that lasts about 90 minutes. Doesn't last all that long because they're obviously going to vote out Jelinski. But maybe that's a good sign for those other three, Kenzie, Tiff, and Q, you know, maybe as more of a core three here.
Yeah, maybe.
But first impressions on, you know, Purple here, Yanu, even Banu himself. What did you think, JD?
Banu, is that that's how you say his name? Banu?
I think I'm saying it, right?
So.
Yeah.
Great character. I'm concerned about him because he wears his emotions very, very plainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's great TV. And his enthusiasm is absolutely infectious. I have never related to anyone more than I've thought. Like, I've seen myself first day one on Survivor.
Yep.
Is Jess.
That's how
I'm
you
the
would be.
Leonardo DiCaprio meme going, that would be fucking me.
She's Canadian, too.
I know. Just a complete mess. Like,
yeah,
and also like first day energy on Survivor. I hate it. Like as a viewer sitting in the comfort of my own home, I can't stand the
You know what? That was the breathless. That's so good. What the idea you just said? It was amazing.
Yeah,
you know,
so,
and it's
so
just
pumped.
Like, God damn. And that's how I think that it's just overwhelming, especially with somebody with ADHD. And there are different types of ADHD. We don't know what kind she has, but it's obviously affecting her. She cannot sleep. I would be that too. Like just the stress of it, the outer body experience of it. And just like you can see her sort of sweating and just like, oh my God, I'm just losing shit all over the place. 100% would be me. So like I am rooting for her hard. Also a Homer pick. So instant favorite for
sure,
me.
Sure. Jess. Sure. What do you think of this tribe and her start? Rough start here.
Yeah, that's a start for Jess. Especially I saw our guy Owen was tweeting last night. He said, oh, this really sucks for her. I had the best sleep of my life on Survivor. Wow. Because I kind of thought it would be the same. Like she even says, she's like, I thought I would just be
so exhausted
that I'd fall asleep right away. And that's what I assume would happen too. But also, you got to deal with the anxiety the entire time. That will keep you up at night. And of course, it's not the most comfortable place. Though I think she did... She was sleeping on the beach, which means she didn't get crushed by the shelter.
Right.
So that's a win.
Theirs did go down.
But I really liked Kenzie and Tiffany working together. We'll get into the Beware Advantage a little bit later, but I think they're sitting in a pretty nice spot on that tribe.
I agree. Sure. And there are some, I like a lot of people on this tribe. I even liked Jelinski, of course, hilarious first boot, but I like a lot of characters on that tribe. So let's go to the Savvy Challenge. We'll keep this going. Charlie and Ben, they are going to attempt to crack this code, and they fail pretty miserably. Now this looked tough too.
Totally.
Like they got the lockbox there. They find the numbers, but they missed the part where it's the leftovers. Then you have to like decipher that code, which then is to dig underneath the table. You got an hourglass going this whole time. Mm-hmm. It looked tough.
Yeah.
So they went back and told everyone. No one seemed to care. They were like, "Yeah, it's okay. We're the vibe tribe.
We're just surviving out here."
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, they started with Ben saying that him and Charlie were going to be Diamond Dave and Eddie Van Halen. Then they failed it, and he said, "This is the beginning of the Dumb and Dumber Alliance."
Yeah, that's right.
So many pop culture references. In this episode.
Oh, God. Charlie's Angels. Yeah. The Andy Griffith Show, you said.
Shaggy and Daphne.
Yes.
That's Flock of Seagulls.
Oh, my God.
At one point, Jelinski just quotes Kenny Rogers at length.
That's a good point.
That's true.
So we get Maria and Tim here on the Green Seagull Tribe here. They're bonding over being parents. But she tells us she has like no intention of being the mom. I believe she's the oldest, right? Out there on the island at 48 years old, 47 maybe when she played, so not that old, but she is the oldest out there. We learn about Ben. He likes the guitar. This guy loves music.
His strategy was to chill hard and make people laugh. That was me, JD. I was like, I love this guy's style.
We're all finding ourselves out there in one of these people. He said he's the dean of cultural affairs.
This guy was great, man. He's kind of Cody vibes.
Totally.
L-I-V-I-N. Yeah. I feel like he may also have a tattoo on one of his cheeks.
Yeah, he also said, I've been known to shred a Long Island iced tea or two. Yeah. I laughed out loud at that. I had to send a screen grab to our friends in the WhatsApp because our friend Dub likes to have a Long Island iced tea every once in a while, which is one of the weirdest drinks of all time.
Same, Dub. Same. when he said... I play guitar. I played everything from salsa to metal. And then I don't know who he's talking to, but they say, wow, multi-talented. And I'm like, no, one talent, guitar. That's it. Guitar and wearing leather vests and bringing good vibes, I guess. But that's it.
Great vibes. I like this guy. Mariah, she admits that she's a little quirky, but she seems to have connected with the ladies. There's a bit of a women's alliance taking form already. They think, maybe we get one more. We got to get one more person for the vote here. Get four, obviously, instead of a 3-3. They target Charlie. And then I forget who said it, but it was a great call. Charlie's
Maria.
Angels. Maria. It was a great line.
That was good.
Maria?
She's the only one old enough to know that.
Yeah.
No offense, Maria.
Yeah.
I'll say this. If you're going to have people named Maria and Mariah, split them up on their tribes.
Yeah.
Well, I like the point where she – I agree with you, Trey. I think it was Maria said to Mariah, hey, what do I call you? I don't know. My friends call me Mo on the go. Like, okay, I'm not going to... She's like, ooh, that's really clever, but I'm not going to call you Mo on the Glow. And then she goes, but if I'm, you know, running behind, they call me Mo on the Slow. I'm like, okay, this is not helpful, Mariah. It's not helpful. Mo. I'm looking for... So yeah, we'll call you Mo.
Should we call her Mo? Maybe we should. I don't know.
I like Mariah. I like this sort of... I love a tearful sort of like, I don't get along with everybody. You know, they say, oh, I'm so socially awkward and blah, blah, blah. But she sounds like she has a great social life. Like she plays D&D. That's a very social game.
Right.
She met her boyfriend at bar trivia.
Right.
She brews beer. I don't know. That seems like a social type of thing.
Yeah.
And also, sorry, another tangent. All these things I'm kind of into too, and then you go, I'm a super dork. It's not that dorky. Pub trivia is dorky? I guess it is, but
that's borderline, I guess. Yes, I love it.
It's fun.
I never think of trivia as dorky.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe D&D, you know, has the
long-term cultural
baggage. Yes. We've all seen Freaks and Geeks.
Sure.
But bar trivia is fun, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Brewing your own beer, yeah.
I don't know. You're doing fine.
Don't be so hard on yourself,
exactly.
Mo.
Yeah. But I just love the day one on Survivor. It's like, well, I may have an alliance, but even more important, I've made some friends.
Lifelong friends.
Also, like, you're not really on the coolest tribe I've ever seen. Like, we're talking about Ben and Charlie.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I guess we got the older sort of parent roles in Tim and Maria. But you're good. You're fine, Mo.
Yeah.
Tim does pick up on the girls whispering and scheming. He clocks it.
Yeah.
They're getting quite friendly pretty quick. And then my final note here, and I got to give credit to my wife, Nora. Charlie, she says, looks like a Timu version of Andrew Garfield. And you maybe will not be able to unsee
spot
that.
Spot on.
Sort of a bootleg Andrew Garfield.
Absolutely spot on.
But I like him. I like him.
Great head of hair.
Great
head of hair. He was rocking the leather vest.
When he had the leather vest on.
Who brings a leather vest? So funny, man. He was in McLovin mode then.
Okay.
I hope he wears the vest. Like, it's wait, Ben's vest.
It's Ben's vest. Yeah. Okay. I was like, Charlie brought the vest? No,
it's
Ben.
So much better on Charlie.
Because even when Maria comes back from the journey, she's like, hey, cool, you got the leather vest on. She like stops mid-sentence.
Sick vest.
I love the idea that out of all of Ben's clothes, he's like, you know what, I am going to bring my leather vest to a desert island. And he puts it in with all his stuff. And then the stylist or whoever it is, the costume person, is like, hey, Ben, you might want to wear that leather vest today. Yeah. And he ends up on the island with a leather vest. It's just chef's kiss.
And it's not even green either. I mean,
Rhino.
Like, right? Has to. He's got green.
All right, that's
clothing.
Something that bugged me. What? Banu was wearing a red shirt. He's on the purple tribe.
Was he? I guess.
Yeah, it said be kind on it. Just a it red
did.
Shirt.
Was it red? Okay.
That's weird.
I thought it didn't have a tint of purple to
I thought it. Was
not
a
enough.
Bit,
not enough.
Not enough for me.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Jeez. This guy takes his colors seriously.
Wait, it's orange, purple, and what's the other color?
Green.
Green. Yeah.
Okay. Seagull's green.
So, I mean, red falls
is
under the purple region.
Yeah. For sure. We'll allow it.
Come on.
We'll allow it. Well, some might argue red's closer to orange than it is to purple.
Okay.
It's right in between. It's right in between on the color spectrum.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's go to Orange Tribe, Nami, because down in the water when they're cleaning up, yeah, Liz talks about how awesome she is. This was an interesting start for someone. I'm amazing. I'm awesome.
Kind of a big deal.
I am a very big deal. I had a lot of companies. Four, in fact. Still own two. Sold the other two. I'm mad rich. It's an interesting way to start a game with people you don't know.
Well, to be fair, okay, to be fair, I mean, we own a company, but we're hardly rich. You can own many companies.
I guess.
You can start as many LLCs as you want. Doesn't mean you're rich. But that's not how it comes off, Liz. Like, you, if you're saying this to a bunch of Survivor contestants, yes, they're going to think, okay, this woman is rolling in dough.
Yeah. Did she not say, I'm pretty awesome?
She did say I'm pretty awesome. She didn't say I'm rich.
You could look at that as a, you could say that sarcastically. I don't think she did a great job of saying it sarcastically.
I agree. I thought she was being sincere, but she's a bit of a weirdo in my book.
Okay.
Just weird vibes from her.
Right. Right, and you were saying before we went live, Trey, there is a Mariah and a Maria on the same tribe, but then Liz looks like who? She looks
Liz
like
she's similar like to Mariah.
Mariah, yeah,
they have similar hair and
they got the glasses,
styles of wearing their
features,
buff.
And tatted up maybe both of them as well. Actually, I don't know if they both
remember
are.
The tats.
Yeah, but anyway,
it's gonna take a second to lock in the tattoos. Yeah. Who's got them and not?
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting ahead. Soda is confident about making fire. She crushes it.
Yeah.
I loved it. She's like, yeah, I can do this. All right, here we go. She was, I forget who she was working with, but maybe, is it Randon? Maybe she was
maybe,
working with
him.
Yeah, anyway. They take care of business there. Man, by the way, we got some incredible names on this season of Survivor. We got a guy named Q. That's cool. We had a Jelinski. Last name, but okay. Soda.
Yeah.
We got a Venus.
Mm-hmm.
We got a, someone going by Jem.
Randon,
unique name.
Yeah.
These are great names.
Yeah.
So what else? Oh, here's my question from this tribe. Camp songs, helpful or hurtful to team morale?
Time and place, I would say. Well, you got to get them in early because by day five, I think they're going to probably be getting on people's nerves.
They better stop. Yep. They better stop soon. I was fine. I'm with you. You're right. That energy that you were talking about, JD. They're all geeked.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, I was Team Hunter on this one.
I was, too.
I'm like, okay, come on. We're not at camp.
Yeah. I mean, we are technically camping.
Feels like
it. I guess it sort of is. It's as close as you can possibly get.
Let's go play a game and then talk around the fire.
That's true.
Well, I think that the camp songs can be helpful, but later on, when at nighttime, when things are winding down and it's bonding time, and let's get a kumbaya
then
going, guys.
We sing.
Yes. But during
midday, I can't look you in the eyes while we're singing a camp song.
It's also, I've just met you, and I'm, oh, okay, am I supposed to, I'm trying to hack down some palm fronds over here, but there's kind of a performance happening over here. Am I supposed to be like, oh, yay, you
is
know?
My part?
Yeah.
I did like Hunter's explanation for it. He's like, you know, sometimes people's jokes fall flat. My singing falls flat.
Yeah.
we're getting out of here. This guy can't sing. I hate the timbre of his voice.
We get Hunter telling us he's quite introverted, but he realizes he needs, or maybe the best move for his game is to team up with someone that's super outgoing, a social player. So this is where the Andy Griffith alliance between Hunter and Tevin is sort of formed. And we get, the editors having some fun with the black and white sort of little montage. Did you enjoy this? Did it hit for you?
Not when I first watched it, but when I watched it back, I was like, okay, it's kind of cute. It's kind of clever, especially the shot of them walking through this sort of there's like walking through long grass, and it's similar to a shot from the Andy Griffith Show. You kids would never know, but it did actually look like it, and it said the Andy Griffith Alliance. I like that.
Yeah. And they're that's a CBS product, is it? It's on Paramount Plus, I believe.
Apparently,
you can go fire up the Andy Griffith Show if you'd like to. But I like those two sort of getting something going here. And I like the thinking. I like that idea of like, I am not like that, but that's probably good to pair with someone like that. Like Hunter's thinking of someone with a social game like that.
Odd Couple. We've seen it work time and time again. So if they're able to stick together for a while, I could see it working for them, because Tevin does seem to be a very charismatic personality. Sure. Seems like he's probably already in charge of this tribe, so why not buddy up next to him?
Yep. Yeah. And then Soda has a thing, seems to be close with Tevin as well. Yes. So the three of them might be good together.
For sure.
And by the way, the Hunter is from Mississippi?
Yes, I believe so.
They don't have Taylor Swift in Mississippi? Because off the top of the show, he's like, man, I'm not going to understand any of these references. Who is this Taylor Swift you're talking about? I'm like, what are you? I mean, I'm 53, and I know. Like,
yeah, that's a little.
You know.
But, I mean, well, he doesn't want to sing the Taylor Swift song.
Okay, so that's like fine. That's fine.
He's got other strengths.
Yeah.
One of them is some good old country boy strength. That guy is gonna like lead this team, I think, in a lot of these challenges. Mm-hmm. We also learn here from Orange slash Nami, Venus, another Canadian, JD. Maybe a princess, though, as well. She gets clocked for that.
How dare you?
And then Randon catches her looking for an idol, calls her Poverty Light. He takes it to Soda, about like, look at Venus is out there. But Soda's sort of like, screw you, man. She's like, this is where the Sodar is going off. She's basically calling bullshit on Randon. So, I don't know. We might be setting up here if they ever do lose between Venus and Randon. I think that's probably setting the table here for when they eventually lose, I would assume.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Day two.
Well, hold on. Wow, okay. You know what? Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Let's go. Day two, guys. The funny part, this is before the boat shows up for the journey, but we get, I'm Liz Wilcox, and I'm allergic to everything. They slipped out of there. So, not that awesome, honestly, to be allergic to everything. No. Boat shows up to the island. One person has to go from each tribe. Jelinski just wants to go. He says he's going, so okay, you go, man.
I'll go. So like, all right, buddy.
Before I'd even get, like, if it's a journey, I want to go. Like,
Tevin, he wins some sort of like dice game to go.
That was their shot in the dark dice.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, they must have just picked.
Yeah, he said my symbol came up.
Yeah,
so
a representative of each side of the die. And then Maria wins with paper, rock, scissors, a classic that we've seen before. So it's Jelinski, Tevin, and Maria. And, the journey's different. The journey is a game, I guess, that you call Torch, Vote, Skull. And I don't know. Was there a name for it?
It's a good name for it.
Torch, Vote, Skull. Yeah, that's what it's called.
Definitely different than what they've done before. And it's the three of them right there. They sort of jump right into it. You know, you pull the torch card. You got to show it. You're good. But then you'll have the other two trying to convince you that they have the vote card. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them will be lying, and it's up to you to ultimately decide. So it's Tevin and Jelinski trying to convince Maria that they sort of have the vote card. They, you know, Jelinski gives it a go, I guess, sort of.
Then I have like, it.
I have it. Don't ask me any more questions. And then Maria, like, flips it on its head and completely crushes him by saying, like, I'm going to bury the liar here. Mm-hmm. And that totally freaks him out. And he caves right away and is like, okay, look, I got it. And so that means Maria and Tevin are going to get the extra votes and he will lose his vote. Did we like this new wrinkle to a journey instead of, Shipwreck Island and turn your... Turn your wheel.
Yeah, I liked it better. So I liked the interfacing between all three of them. And I thought a pretty smart move by Maria to be like, if you're lying to me, you're going to have 12 enemies right now. And apparently that was too many for Jelinski.
Yeah.
He would rather have 5 people who are going to vote him out hate him than 12 people who he'll never talk to until the game is over. But it worked. He's not a deceptful person. So, of course, he had to fold his hands.
Deceptful. Yes, that's right. They threw it in quotes there on the closed captioning.
Yeah.
You like this new twist here, JD?
I thought that, yes, I do like it. I thought that... I didn't really understand it when it first came up, and I was like, what is the point of this? Like, how are you going to convince? But then I sort of, as it unfolded, I got it. Maria, if you don't want to be known as the mom, don't use your mom superpowers, because that is hardcore mom stuff right there. But she was brilliant pulling it out of him. And easy pickings, really. It's Jelinski. Like, I definitely have it. You know, like,
That's a great point. It was definitely I'm not mad at you now, but if I find out you're lying to me, I'm going to be really mad at you.
This is going to be a bigger problem for you down the line, so just come clean now, and we can deal with it. Exactly. And it worked.
That's
perfectly.
Too good.
So then he returns, Jelinski does, with no vote, and, you know, it's so ironic. In a thing he was just doing where he was supposed to be lying, and then caves, he goes back and probably should have lied to his tribe. Instead, just comes clean, and they bury him. They're like, what are you talking about? What are you doing? You just gave them extra votes? You didn't even really try? That was, in an episode full of, like, what are you doing, Jelinski moments, this was at, like, the top of my list. He could have said anything. Totally. Nobody's gone on it.
Yep. Yeah.
He could have run back a classic journey, whatever. You could still say he doesn't have a vote if he wants to get to that, but, like, basically saying, not only did I botch this, but now they have more power, because that's what really pissed them off.
He didn't even have to lie, really. He just had to tell them exactly what happens, but leave out the part where he just folded immediately, right? There's no reason for him to do that. And I think that if he hadn't quit in the first sweat challenge, he would have had a little bit more charity, they would have sort of been a little bit more understanding, but it's like, you quit again, and now you're putting us in jeopardy by, giving them two extra votes, our enemies? Well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
To be fair to Jelinski, it puts you in a huge disadvantage to have the skull, right?
Like, Absolutely.
To be fair, but it couldn't have possibly happened to the worst person, to send out
to
on
the
a
guy that gives up.
So horrible look, but hilarious.
A
television.
Great segment, yeah.
Yeah.
For great television, it would have been awesome if Tevin had drawn the skull.
Yeah.
And he had to do the line.
Yeah.
Something tells me he would have been a lot better at it really leaned into it.
Yeah.
And then Jelinski would have been like, no, I have it. I really have it. Which would have sounded like he was lying. So, probably would have been better. But anyway, we also get Maria returning. She tells Siga about her extra vote. Tim seems a little scared by that. And then, we then get really the beware advantage finding here from Tiff, along with Kenzie, who's sort of, rolling along with her here, looking for stuff on the island. She rips open, Tiff does the beware advantage right away, and she finds a hidden immunity box, but she needs a key, and she loses her vote until, they lose immunity, I guess. So, we get a box, and she has to go find this key, which we'll obviously get to in a little bit, but... Yeah, I liked how the whole hidden immunity box played out, and I liked that it happened somewhat quickly here. That it all happened within the same episode.
Yeah.
Maybe we were helped that it was 2 hours, but I like that.
Was amazing. Like she
killed it.
She killed it. I mean, they lost the immunity challenge, so that also helped with that. But
right.
An incredible little run for Tiff there, and she is definitely one to watch, that's for sure.
Yep. Strong start.
I hope that she uses the box in some way going forward, because she buried it again, right? Like, after she found the immunity idol, there was a pencil in there. I don't know if that's going to come in handy as well. She's got two things outside of the immunity idol that she could use for deception somehow.
I do wonder. I mean, it was great. It was awesome. Will it come back to bite her in the ass that Kenzie knows all of this as well? Or is it a bonding thing and it's almost like this is ours in a way? Like, I wonder how they're going to sort of play that moving forward.
It's definitely going to bite her in the ass.
It usually does. But also, what are you going to do? She saw you find it.
Exactly.
And now you have to sort of do it, the whole chase with her. Yeah.
Well, and they were in the four-person alliance as well.
That's probably good. So day three, team immunity challenge. We get the famous line now, I would say, of Jelinski telling Probst that several means seven. Something I had never, ever heard before in my life.
Not a thing.
Not a thing. Somebody told him this? And he convinced himself because it's, spelled the same way that's what it means? Like, what happened here?
Look, man, it's hard to stick up for this guy, but the first four letters are the same. And several can mean seven at some point.
It can mean.
Like, what's the upper limit on several?
Yeah. Yeah.
Over 10 seems like too many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was just so adamant that that several has to mean seven.
Yes.
But you're right. Could you convince yourself that several hours is somewhere between four and seven? Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think you're getting a little high, personally,
yes.
but
yes.
sure. But he is just like hell-bent on, no, that's supposed to mean
that
seven.
That is several. Yeah. It's in the word. It means seven.
So we get Probst getting us to the challenge. He's geeking out about the gecko, saying it's the biggest gecko you've ever seen. And make sure you look at the eyes while you're carrying this thing, too. Bloodshot eyes.
Bloodshot eyes.
So,
as if it were fixings for a baked potato.
Yeah, yeah. So Orange / Nami, they are crushing this one again. Again, Hunter, that guy's good in these things. I was getting angry at the other two tribes, though, trying to get this stupid gecko over this wall. I think Probst got a little fed up, too. He's like, why are a couple of you over the wall and then pulling down?
Right.
The thing, it's not going to slide across the top of the bamboo. Just all get back underneath it. Maybe have one person up there.
Right.
But everybody else just push it over.
Yeah.
What were they doing? They were like literally hurting themselves. But like the people were like hanging off it. But it wasn't even close to going over.
Somebody was head first, like holding behind it. That could have been bad. I think that's part of why he was like, guys, get behind it.
Don't push it over. Yeah. So you doesn't collapse
what
on
happens
you.
When it comes down.
Yeah.
A Venus was one of them up there trying to haul over a 500-pound thing. It's like, she's what? Under 100 pounds,
yeah,
I think.
Crusher. Like. So anyway, they finally figure it out, but we get to the puzzle part. Yanu, I don't know, how am I supposed to say this?
Try Yanu is fine.
Yanu, okay. They choose Jelinski to do the puzzle, or maybe he offered to do it.
He stepped up 100%. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, him and Jess. I wrote when he got in there, I was like, oh, great, he's going to quit after one piece. I'm going to try one piece, doesn't fit. I'm done. Just knocks it over. So anyway, Orange wins, Nami wins, Siga finishes second, and Yanu dead last. And then Banu breaks down in front of Probst. This goes to what you were talking about, JD, of this guy wearing his heart on his sleeve for sure. He's, he's heartbroken. Somebody's survivor journey is going to come to an end here mm-hmm. on night three. And the two targets as we go to commercial are, surprise, surprise, Jelinski, who can't get anything right, and Jess, because nobody's really talking game with her. She's just losing shit out there. She's like walking around, bumping into things.
She can't say full sentences.
She can't talk.
Yeah.
So those are the two that are on the target list here as we take the commercial break. And then we get into the plotting and the scheming here. No, I thought it was interesting. Those two stayed at the shelter
mm-hmm.
while the other four had to get water. It's like, neither of you want to go and help your chances of sticking around in this game? They're like, nah, we'll both stay here. But Jelinski's worried about her playing her shot in the dark.
Right.
And so he's like, he's thinking he's good. I mean, he thought, I'm fine. I got my sort of alliance here. Yeah, I haven't done anything correctly, but they'll
but
keep
in his, I don't think in his mind that he believes that. I think he's lying down in that shelter, he's like, I'm killing this game.
Right.
Like, in his mind, I can't remember a more oblivious player. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
How was he blindsided? After everything that happened, how? How did he not know that he was going home? Like, I don't even think he realized.
I think those other people
was
in his tribe that did have that little alliance cooking were probably like, yeah, we need your strength. She's sort of a nothing in these things.
They attacked him at tribal council for quitting twice.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. At tribal council, he should have clued into the fact that he maybe was going home. I mean, he didn't have a vote, so it's not like, he could really do all that much except plead to stay in the game. But
Yeah.
We get Tiff then here saying, I'm really bummed we lost the immunity challenge. Psych. I don't care. We got a psych.
Man,
what a line. So then she gets to go crack the coded message to get the key. She does. She figures out this point thing. There was an awesome shot of her running back.
The drone shot?
Well, no, there was. Well, yes, there was a drone shot, but there was a shot. It was a camera operator,
mm-hmm.
like a handheld.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she figures it out, right? Like on the point, on those rocks. And then she starts booking it back, like to obviously where the hidden immunity box is.
Right.
And it's behind her. And like,
oh, yeah.
It's
yeah,
like
yeah.
a mountain
yeah,
shot. It looks like
cool.
a video game.
Yeah. Really cool.
It just looks so sick. And she obviously gets the idol, gets her vote back, and she's, you know, she's sitting pretty because she ain't going home tonight. Mm-hmm. And now she's got a little power here and obviously has her vote to have a say here, because otherwise we were heading into this thing with only four people potentially voting, because Jelinski didn't have his and she didn't have hers for a second. Q talks to Banu about cutting Jelinski. He takes that to Jess too. So then we just get Q, Banu, Tiff, and Kenzie debating who's it going to be. Are we going Jelinski or Jess? You know, we get a line here. I don't want to play with people who just want to give up.
Right.
That's what Q says. Really? Aren't those people, you know, all right to say, keep around?
Yeah.
I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, as we go to tribal council, we can get into what's said there. But, like, do you think they made the right decision in letting the legend of Jelinski go and keeping Jess over him? Or maybe they should have went with Jess? Does anyone have a... Or does it not matter at all?
I mean, it's the first boot. It probably doesn't matter.
Probably not.
And he has already shown that he's willing to help out other people for his own cause rather than helping the tribe. Like, that was what he told them right away, twice. And honestly, as soon as he quit, the sweat challenge with Q, it was over. Like, he's not going to let that kind of guy stay around. Q,
no,
I didn't think.
No, for sure.
Yeah, totally. There was a moment earlier in the episode where... I can't remember what happened, but what the three of them without Jelinski was sitting there and they were like, oh, should we tell Jelinski? And then Q was like, I'm not telling that man anything.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was basically over at that point.
Yeah, Jelinski lost Q in the sweat challenge. And then he really lost, I felt like, someone like Tiff and maybe the others when he came back and said, yeah, I lost my vote and I gave them extra votes. And they were like, well, she like really freaked out on that. She's like, what are you talking about? I plan on being here actually for a little while and that might come back to hurt me, this you know, potential extra vote. It probably won't, but I understand why she's pissed off. So anyway, Jelinski voted out 5-0. And, you know, Jess stays. She talks a lot about struggling with sleep deprivation. She really was struggling. And we've read stuff from people, obviously Survivor sort of media personalities, Bloom, Dalton Ross, who were there for this first tribal council. They said it was like even worse.
Wow.
She couldn't talk at all.
Yeah.
And like, I guess Tiff was doing like some sort of an analogy. And Jess is like, what? Can you say that again? So apparently she said it again and she still didn't get it. Like, yeah, she is. Hopefully she rebounds here, finds her footing. And she might.
Get her a reward challenge. Get some food in you. But look, she couldn't string a sentence together. She couldn't understand analogies. And Jelinski still got voted out 5-0 and was still somehow blindsided. Because Mike Bloom said it was even more obvious in person than it was on TV. And like going to Tribal Council, I was like, well, at least he did a lot on his first and only episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seemed to me very obvious he was the one going home.
Yeah.
But he's saying even more so in person.
The only part where I was like, okay, maybe he's not going home is how confident he was. That was the only thing. Yeah. I'm like, what? How is this guy not the first guy that you obviously get out of here? Because this whole talk, too, of like, okay, he's at least a bigger guy and maybe more athletic than Jess. But it's like, what was he doing? I didn't see a whole lot of like, you know, helping all that much with the gecko. Nora pointed out, like, look at him and the gecko over the wall. He's like doing nothing at one point. Just standing there. Yeah. Like, so.
I mean, you got Q. You don't need another big gawky guy who's not going to do anything and is a bit of a quitter.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Jess could be a liability for sure. I mean, you do have to give them kudos for like taking the risk of getting rid of a big guy after you just lost a challenge where there's a 500-pound gecko that you had to move around. I mean, that is – it does take some cojones, but as you say, like he barely did anything anyways. So
yeah, and like even in the puzzle that he's doing with Jess, I mean, she was working on the puzzle. He couldn't even like find the right pieces to hand her.
Yeah.
I don't even think he was helping with the puzzle. He's just like literally pick up that piece and hand it to it, and they're like screaming at him at that one point. Like, not that one. No, not that one. Not that one. He couldn't even do that right. So yeah. And then, of course, at Tribal Council where we get Propes. You know, he said he was going to be a little more cutthroat, maybe when it came to like, you know, asking questions and putting people on blast. Maybe these last couple of tribal councils over seasons prior have been a little too kind, a little jovial. But yeah, I mean, he called out Jelinski on the never quitting. He's like, I will never give up. Except the two times I already did in 3 days.
That's great, man. That's great.
That's great. He's one of my favorite first boots of all time. If they ever do you know, a first boot season or even first booth versus winners or some variation of that, he's a no-brainer.
Oh, a totally second chances or something. Like, come on, bring him in. Yeah. Bring him in.
So that is episode one. Any other thoughts here? I know we got tree mail later and got some other questions about this episode, but anything else you want to add or that I missed from this one as we
Jeff called that gecko the biggest gecko you've ever seen. That was the biggest gecko I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very big gecko.
About three of them.
I like the look of the tribal council.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It does look cool.
A lot of cool buildings.
Yeah.
It looks very big. Like, it just looks very sizable to me.
Yeah.
And then I would also say I really liked Soda. I thought she was awesome.
Yeah. 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 Good Soda's start. Great. Soda and Tevin are going to be quite a duo there. Also, I will say, Jess, just to illustrate how much she was struggling, apparently when she voted, she literally put her vote in the shot in the dark bag instead of the actual spot where you're supposed to put your vote, like this woman. I mean, I honestly, I think she's gonna bounce back. I have some confidence. Like, this is like, they also needed someone in this episode to pit against the buffoon that it was Jelinski and all the mistakes he was making, like, to like have us think, could it be her? You know, so, you know,
I was going to say
it wasn't
back.
Maybe that bad, but it does seem bad. It did seem bad.
I mean, I say that, but we got a clip of her getting screamed at in the next challenge.
Bonu.
But
he's
a hothead, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm hoping for a journey with her. We see this a lot, I think. Not to this extreme, but people just, you arrive on the island and it's a fucking gut punch.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? They get punched and they're dazed.
Yeah. And
David
then,
Wright, wasn't that like his story?
Totally. Cochrane as well. Mm-hmm. Like, a complete, like, you know, sunburn, rash, everything. Yeah. Like, but then you emerge from it and then it makes you stronger. And that's what I'm hoping for.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will get into tree mail. Don't go anywhere. Wouldn't you love to travel without the actual, you know, traveling part? For example, I want to go to Lisbon, let's say. I just snap my fingers, I'm there. No driving to the airport, no flight delays, no fools at security who still don't know that, yes, you need to take your laptop out of your bag and place it in the tray. Oh my God, how long have we been doing this? Travel without traveling. I want it both ways, but that's not possible. It is with Mack Weldon, though. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But this is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got it all. I got the Air Knit underwear. I got the Ace Collection sweatpants. I've got the Silver Peak polo. Everything fits perfectly. All I get is compliments. Mack Weldon has figured this stuff out. Because performance fabric usually means clothes that look or feel sort of techy or shiny. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of a busy life. They look like regular clothes, which is good. I want regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with the promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, back with No Buffs here. Let's get right into some tree mail. Okay, first one from Joe at Booyah Machine on Twitter. Do you think all challenges will involve the giant gecko? And if so, did Jeff give away too much when he repeatedly yelled that you have to push the gecko? You can't pull it. Hashtag bloodshot eyes. Would you like to see the giant gecko in every challenge this season?
I want to see it again.
Yeah.
At least one more time.
Okay.
I want to see that lizard.
Maybe they can make it like more fun. Like someone has to ride it.
Yeah.
You know? In the I thought somebody should have rode it down the ramp.
Oh, that would have been pretty cool. That would have been really sweet.
Props would have loved that, wouldn't he?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, for sure.
giant gecko. Any thoughts on that one, JD?
Yes, I would like to see the gecko. Again, I think that Jeff was probably worried about safety, or he was just giving them advice.
I think he was just giving them advice. He's like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, three of you pulling down while it's at the apex. It's like you're literally... You're not pushing enough up.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You have to get that tail above. I think he's just helping him out.
Yeah.
Next one from DT. Based on the first episode, who do you think the show is trying to tell us will win? Oh, let's read into the edit. And then DT says, it's Tevin. So DT is saying right away, Tevin as this great narrator, obviously a big personality, mm-hmm. seems to know the game. But do you have someone else, JD, that you think through one episode the show was tipping its hand?
I like Tevin. I think that it's very possible that he wins. Like he seems to be very savvy. Mm-hmm. He is, as you say, a great narrator. Has a narrator ever won? Like, there's always one person who sort of is great at narrating the game.
Cochran was a bit of a narrator.
Cochran, yeah. That's a good point.
But you're right. They generally don't. They go far.
Yeah. Like the Mike Whites, did David White win?
No,
he didn't win. But yeah, there's
Owen.
Yeah. Omar.
Yeah. No.
I feel like Jam Jam was kind of 50-50 narrator.
Not
him
a
and Carolyn
one.
Were kind of like the two stars of that season. And Carolyn obviously opened her season breaking the fourth wall with the producer.
True.
And that's what that's like the most notable opening monologue to me other than Tevin's.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And I remember that because she broke the fourth wall there, I thought she was going to win. I thought that was them telling us that she was going to win. So I'm not saying that Tevin's a lock, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Who had the best showing in episode one besides Jelinski?
Probably Tiff. In terms of getting, you know, getting shit done, like actual Survivor gameplay. I think
Maria had a pretty good episode.
Maria had a great episode. Yeah. The salon owner, I'm blanking.
Kenzie.
Yeah.
Good social game there.
Yeah, especially Kenzie and Tiff sort of tied together. Okay, yeah, you seem to agree with those ones.
Yeah, I've got a lot of them on my team for later, and only one person was shown building fire last night. Soda.
Mm-hmm. Practiced leading
practiced
up to it.
Practiced it, and they mentioned that.
Every day. Ah, good point. Next one from Zach. At what point do you think people will stop comparing young, attractive women to poverty? Or are we in the 90s NBA in a constant search for the next Michael Jordan? Look, it comes up all the time. You are young, you're attractive, and you show, you know, any deception at all.
You're
like you're a little sly playing the game of Survivor. Heaven forbid you're a little deceptive.
Right.
Deceptful. Oh, God. it's a good point here from Zach. I don't know if it'll ever stop.
I think it changes next season.
Why? How so?
Because this tribe has not seen season 45, right?
Right.
D1. Taking the poverty game literally to the next level.
Right,
she used the showmance to swindle Austin and won Survivor.
We're gonna pivot to D. You're a D.
Yep.
A dubious D.
Interesting.
Dubious D.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that D needs another few seasons under her belt before she can get to the poverty echelon.
Hey, poverty's still in the reality.
She is
reality world.
You know. What's the word I'm looking for? Atmosphere?
The universe?
Yeah, universe. System.
Sure,
ecosystem. Yeah. Thank you. Because she's on Traitors.
Yeah. Which I still have not watched, which I should watch.
That's good.
But yeah, look, it's a compliment. If you get compared to poverty, and by the way...
That's how she took it. That was my favorite
part. Of course,
part.
But she's still angry. And she was angry because he was right. I don't know. So anyways, whatever. Venus... You are Canadian, so I love you, so that's fine.
You are the ultimate homer.
I am. But you know what? You know what? You are no poverty. And what's his name? Randon?
Yeah.
Sorry. If you can see a poverty coming at you, then she's not a poverty. Because poverty, you're already under her spell, like immediately.
Right.
You don't know that you are doing everything that she's bidding. and that's not Venus. No offense, not yet. Anyway, not that I've seen. Young, pretty, conniving. That's literally everybody on Survivor, as far as I'm concerned. From my perspective, that's everybody.
That's a good point.
So, you know, it's a compliment. Parvati is a Michael Jordan figure in the Survivor world. Mm-hmm. And ain't nothing wrong with that as far as I'm concerned. But I take your point, Trey. I think D is up there for sure. But, you know, let's get have her back another way, you know. And I think she would do just as well, if not better. I think she is on Parvati's level for sure.
I agree.
But
we were high on D.
Yep.
I also have high hopes for Venus, like, putting up a fight with someone on her tribe.
Yeah.
I don't think she's, like, going to roll over here if she gets in trouble. Like, I think she's got that spirit in her. She's got quite a competitive vibe to her. So hopefully that plays out. Final one here from Kevin. All the focus is rightly on Jelinski and his tribe. But if either of the other tribes had lost the immunity challenge, who do you think would have been the first boot? So this is a fun hypothetical. Let's say Siga. Let's say the green tribe loses to Jelinski, who kills the puzzle and just puts it all together with Jess.
Who's on green? Sorry.
Well, you've got
Ben, Charlie, Jem, Maria, Mariah, and Tim are Siga.
Right. So we got the parents. And everyone else he just named. We got the rock and roll Ben.
We got Charlie's Angels. And
yeah, that one was setting up like it was the Women's Alliance and maybe Charlie. So in theory, that puts Ben and Tim at a disadvantage.
And Tim seems at odds with the Women's Alliance.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe we lean towards Tim there?
Tim on that tribe.
Okay, and then of course, if the Orange tribe had lost, and TK, you have that in front of us?
Hunter, Liz, Randon, Soda, Tevin and Venus.
So right, Venus possibility.
Yeah, they got a Randon Venus confrontation there. Yeah. But I think Liz, maybe the woman can't eat. She can't eat out there. That's a problem.
Yes.
It's a problem. It's a problem to the point where I'm like, is this ethical to put somebody who cannot eat any of the actual food that they can find on the show, you know?
Right.
Like she.
It's like if you were, I'm allergic to sand.
Right.
Like, well, you're going on Survivor.
Well, good luck. Good luck out there.
Did you say if she can eat rice?
She must be.
I hope she can eat rice.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jelinski was also allergic to coconuts.
Wow.
I didn't know that was a major allergen.
Same.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you never know. Coconut oil, you got to watch out for that.
Okay, so it sounds like from Orange, though, you think Liz maybe, and then possibly Venus or Randon.
That's my thought.
Butting heads. That sounds right. All right. Well, I'm happy to say that the No Buffs Survivor Fantasy Pool is back with Make Your Picks. That is the app we use. And I want you to know, they've updated their app, Make Your Picks has, on iOS and Android. So in order to play, you got to make sure you've got the latest version of the app. So do that first. Update the Make Your Picks app. Now, some of you have like automatic apps on that update, like you should be good, but you won't be able to make your picks on the old version. So that's the first thing Chris said to remind everyone. The rules are the same, okay? You're going to be picking your Survivor team. Your team to accumulate points, to obviously last long. You're picking 5 players. And then from week to week, we make votes on who's going out, and you can double down on that, and you can use a bunch of coins and stuff like that. You'll figure it out. It's pretty easy. Again, Make Your Picks is what we use. The picks will not start, or our season doesn't start, until right before the start of episode 2. So nobody has started yet. There's no points yet. You don't have to freak out if you didn't even know about this. We don't start until the start of episode 2. So you've basically got all week up until, you know, next Wednesday night to get your picks in, to make your team, and then make your picks for who's going home. And we will wrap this up by me asking you guys, call your shot. You know, I don't really need to hear your entire team, but I'd love to know after one episode, who you got winning this thing?
This is interesting. I'm looking at our pool right now, and I see my sister has entered our pool.
Ooh.
Ooh, Kenzie. She's probably backing Kenzie.
Mackenzie B?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's her.
Mm.
Okay.
I got Kenzie on my team. I can't not root for Kenzie. I'm doing it different this year. I know there's no chance I'm picking the right winner.
Okay.
So I'm just picking the people I liked the most in the first episode.
Okay, so who do you have on your team here and make your picks?
Kenzie, Soda, Ben, Maria, and Tevin.
Okay.
Give me a winner, pick Soda.
Soda. All right. Soda. Okay, you like that fire call. Little tip there from the editors. Okay.
Good call. Good call.
JD, let's.
I haven't picked
team.
My
team
yet.
Okay, but
team
let's hear
yet,
you
but...
take it to win this whole thing. The Soul Survivor of season 46.
Soul Survivor. Give me. Okay, my head is saying Tevin. My heart is saying Jess. Even though I know.
Up.
I can't help it. I can't help it. You know, I'm going to say Jess.
Okay.
I'm going to say Jess.
Okay.
Fuck it. She used to play rugby. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't know that.
She's a twin, so she's constantly fighting with people. She's
right,
she knows. She understands she, confrontation.
She's constantly fighting with people and her identical twin. What about Q and his 17
right?
siblings? 16?
Yes.
What was the number was he said? You think he said 17 siblings?
17
or
kids,
he said he was
so
one
he's
of 17.
16,
yeah.
Yeah, he's one of 17.
Holy moly.
That's a lot. That's a lot. But I think... if she can just get her shit together, I think she's going to go far in this game.
Okay. So you're going Jess.
Jess.
You got Soda. I'm also going to stick with a woman. Give me, quote unquote, don't call me mom. Give me mom. I'm going to take Maria. I like her. My only concern is great first episode.
Yeah.
Will she, you know, shine too bright early? But I'll take Maria.
Yeah.
As my winner.
No
let's
love for
hear
Tiff.
From you.
Nobody picked Tiff.
Like Tiff a lot. I like a lot of people on this on the, you know first impressions here.
Yeah.
From 2 hours, a lot of them.
Same.
Out of 18, you know, 17 now. I probably love like 10 of them immediately as like oh good at the game, fun mm-hmm. characters. Could see them doing well.
Totally.
But can't wait for them to get a little hungry, get a little irritated.
Sure.
Screw your camp songs. Get the hell out of here with your rock and roll references. You know, it doesn't take long.
Oh, yeah.
For
yeah.
people to like start just annoying you.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I don't even like 80s rock, Ben. Relax, man.
He's so young to be into Van Halen yeah. and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah. And like, we got two guys in an Andy Griffith alliance. The one guy's 24. Yeah. The other guy's like 30. Like, what's going on here? What's old is new? Is that's we've just come full circle?
I guess. Incredible. Andy Griffith. It's a pretty good show.
I mean, legendary show.
Legendary,
yeah.
Sure.
But very I haven't. Folksy. I don't know anyone that's like a giant fan.
You would have to be searching it out at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it maybe used to be on Nick at Night or whatever. But
right.
I don't know what they play on Nick at Night anymore or if it exists. I know they're not just showing Andy Griffith reruns.
I
don't think. Maybe they are.
Look at it this way. Matlock is an ancient show.
Yeah.
What? That was Andy Griffith, right?
The same guy.
Same
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
That was 40 years
after. Man.
It was.
The start of the first show ever.
Ron Howard was 5 in that show.
And, okay, there's two people on the fucking island that love this show. It's weird with one young person
right.
being like, I love Andy Griffith. You're like, oh, that's quirky. That's weird. And suddenly there's another guy out there that's like, I love it too.
Yeah.
You think they're faking the funk? I mean, their favorite character both was Opie. Come on. The most obvious
know.
Character?
I don't know.
Nobody likes Barney Fife?
Oh, come on, Barney Fife? Don Knotts?
What, you're anti-Barney Fife?
Absolute best.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say he's probably the best.
Yeah,
of course. Or at least who I think of first.
Opie, come on.
Yeah.
Well, because they probably started watching his children, and Opie's
a child. Yeah.
A child.
Yes.
You're right. You're right.
I don't
want to
get
old.
Into that.
We're old. We're all over 40 now
the
here.
The show went off the air in 1968.
2 years before I was born.
Holy crap. It went off
amazing.
The air. It went off
yeah.
the air in 68.
That was the last episode. 1968.
All right, man. Well,
man. I like the Beatles, you know?
Well,
it's
music,
the same as liking the Beatles.
Yeah, music. Yeah, I guess it's similar. I don't know. It feels a little different to me
it does,
when it comes
I
to
agree.
Music
yeah.
than an old black and white television show. But they like it. That's cool. Next episode of Survivor, it's 2 hours long again. And
ooh.
Then we go to 90-minute episodes. It's titled... Scorpio energy.
Mm.
So, is this about the scorpion tattoos, or is it about someone and their horoscope? Because we had Ben say he's an Aries, right?
Ben well, did say he was an Aries.
I could,
yeah.
It could be both, right?
It could
if,
be both.
If
it
you
could
don't,
be
if you have a scorpion tattoo and you're not a Scorpio, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
So
you,
we
you
know-
just love the movie Drive.
Yep.
Why is there
Mortal
a scorpion?
Yeah,
he's got it on his jacket.
Yeah,
no, I didn't
or Mortal jacket. Kombat. Yeah, there's an older reference.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to use a hip,
right.
cool
yeah,
reference.
Yeah.
Drake, big scorp.
Yep.
Yeah.
It, what's I do not know the stars. Okay, I do not follow the horoscopes.
I only know Scorpio because I am a Scorpio.
Oh, what? So what's a characteristic of you? What's Scorpio energy? Is what I'm asking.
Kind of a dick, I guess. That's what people tell me.
Okay.
They go, oh, you're, every time I like, you know, oh, you're a Scorpio. Oh, I get it. Oh, oh I see oh, now.
Like a like, bit of just a curmudgeon.
Yeah, it's oh, yeah, like yeah. the worst in terms of like an asshole. You're an asshole.
Oh.
You're born in like the beginning of winter, I guess. So I don't know.
That's what makes you an asshole?
Yeah.
Strong, it's enigmatic, the... and independent characters okay. who crackle with an intensity.
Did yeah. anyone fire up their birth dates and find out who's the Scorpio?
I couldn't go
the...
that deep, okay, man. Okay. I was just reading everything I could about Jelinski.
Okay, you were. You well, really were.
Jelinski was one of them, wasn't he? I'm. Two people were comparing Scorpio tattoos.
Oh. And you're
or scorpion tattoos, I
yeah,
should say.
Yeah. And I'm you're convinced it's you the have one a that's still tattoo there. That you're a Scorpio. Okay.
Well, I mean, I guess if anybody out there has a scorpion tattoo and you're not a Scorpio, please let us know. A and explain yourself.
Maybe on episode 2, instead of giant geckos, we have giant scorpions.
Ooh, I like that.
And that's like the theme of yeah. this season.
Watch the tail, says Jeff. Don't touch the
Don't
tail.
Don't touch the tail. You've got to pull it down from the front in this one, you idiots. next time on Survivor, people are starting to feel defeated already. I think people are starting to crack a little bit already. Maybe hunger and sleep deprivation, whatever. Siga gets some fire going, so somebody else, the Green Tribe, gets fire going.
Okay.
And then Banu screams at Jess for, I think, dropping pieces or dropping something here.
A puzzle seems to collapse.
Yeah, they have to seem to be holding this puzzle, giant puzzle, like almost like rainbow type thing, and he screams at her.
Yeah.
So, uh-oh, Jess, come on.
was it an exclamation? Did a puzzle piece fall on her? And he's like, Jess, like that, like, oh my god!
I took it as
anger.
Hold
too.
Hold it up,
like,
you fool!
Yeah, get your shit together, Jess.
Maybe we'll see. We'll
but,
see.
But yeah, we'll see. I don't know, but that's not a good look. You know what I mean?
What for, Banu?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right.
This guy is intense. He's all I'm saying. Intense. He's very intense.
Great character.
Wears every emotion on his face. He's like, for a guy who does yoga a lot, he's a little high strung. Is all I'm saying.
I love that he got his U.S. citizenship, and then the next day, man, I'm
sick,
like,
man.
I'm going on Survivor. That's so badass. Yeah, you're right. He's fired up.
Yeah.
And he's obviously going to want to win and avoid going to Tribal Council again because they just lost. So we will see. That's next week on No Buffs, though. Remember to get your picks in. Update your app. Make your picks. Select your team. Make your picks who's going to go home next week. Let's hear from everybody. Call your shot. Let us know in the YouTube comments who's the sole survivor of season 46. You can let us know on Twitter as well, at NoDunksInc. But great to be back. Great talking Survivor with you guys. We got Jeff behind us. We got the sexy St. Jeff candle. We got you in the live tribe. And hey, share the show. Tell your friends. People say we're one of the best Survivor podcasts going. One person on Reddit said this.
Hey, that's somebody.
That's somebody. Was it one of you guys?
No, it wasn't me.
Was it? Okay,
no,
it wasn't us.
No, man.
Was it Tass? Possibly. Who knows?
I had the name.
That's all right. We appreciate it. So, share the show with all your Survivor friends. And it's a great time to get in if you're new to Survivor. Until next week, though, the tribe has spoken.